flame. Texas up in this thing, put you up on this game. I be parking my frame, gang, 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 gang. If you don't jump to put jeans on, baby, you don't feel my pain. Please don't give me hype, write my name in ice. Can't argue with these lazy bitches, I just raise my price. I'm a boss, I'm a leader, I pull up in my two-seater. And my mama was a savage, nigga got this shit from Tina. I'm a savage, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to episode 86 of Black Girl Squee, the podcast where we celebrate Black femme genius with a squee. I'm your co-host Dee Dee. I go by Dust Daughter on the internets.
And I am your other co-host, Enda, and you can find me at Enda's Corner on the Twitters.
Together, you can find us at Black Girl Squee on Twitter, and you can find our Tumblr, blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. Our email is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. You can find our podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play Podcasts, and you can add it to your favorite podcatcher by using our RSS feed, which is found on our Simplecast site at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.com. If you feel inclined, if you enjoy what you're hearing, please rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts. It would bring more people to the show to get us all involved together. Having more people celebrate Black women can't be a bad thing. So, get involved, rate and review, 5 stars, please, on Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much. And just so you know, we have a spoiler policy that we spoil shit. Mm-hmm. And we're not sorry about it. But we do warn you up front, right here. We also squee really loud. We cuss a lot, especially lately. And we talk about dick.
Yes.
And cat daddies. Lots of cat daddies. Also, we not sorry. We grown. So, just now that we've got that out of the way, we're going to get started with our squee-worthy news. Enda, take it away.
All right. So first up, we wanted to let you know about a COVID-19 relief fund for Black trans people. And this has been set up by the Marsha P. Johnson Institute. They explain on their website that they're giving priority to Black trans women and those who have experience as sex workers or formerly incarcerated and our other vulnerable community members. And so if you are in need of some assistance or you know someone who is and you need to direct them, you can apply, I guess it's at the site because the link came up here as the bit.ly link. But I'm pretty sure, you know, that's from their own website, MPJI hyphen relief. And also I'm pretty sure we'll put the exact link or a link on in the show notes if you need in need of that. But really glad to see the mutual aid that's focusing on some of the most vulnerable people in our communities and such. And so, like I said, you know anybody or you are somebody who needs some help in this time, because most of us do, please go look it up, Marsha P. Johnson Institute. So for the Marsha P. Johnson Institute and their COVID-19 relief, we'd like to give a big squee!
Okay, I'm going to switch a couple of things around. I'm going to talk about a new remix that just dropped. That was all over Twitter the other day. So if you were online or alive this Wednesday, you might have heard something about a new remix of the song Savage by Megan Thee Stallion. where she teams up with Beyonce. So, it was leaked earlier in the week, and then finally dropped on Wednesday, and Black Twitter kind of went nuts, going over every bar, because it's almost a new song when you think about it. There's not much that you recognize from the original song except for the beat, the little piano riff that accompanies the beat, da, 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 and the chorus or the hook. But the rest of the song is kind of totally rewritten. So if you used to remixes like the ones that Mariah used to do where she would take a whole new beat and rewrite the song, except for probably the hook, then you'll appreciate this remix. Megan was really happy about it, and she was on IG Live crying and dancing and playing the song over and over. And she said on Instagram that my mama was a really huge fan of Beyonce, and she used to make me watch a lot of Beyonce stuff. I'm from Houston, Texas. You go from going to a Destiny's Child concert in the fifth grade, right? And you see Destiny's Child, and it's just really freaking amazing. Wanting to be a performer, wanting to be in the music industry, wanting to be any type of entertainer, you look at Beyonce, and Beyonce is the standard. Beyonce is what you want to be. Especially being from Houston, that's all you know. So she was really happy about it, and after all the stuff she's been going through with her, you know, recording a record label and just with people online, it was just good to see her happy and see her partying about something and getting this really big, you know, pat on the back from a hometown legend, kind of. Mm-hmm. So all proceeds from the remix will go to Houston's Bread of Life and their COVID-19 relief efforts. So it's great that, you know, that this was probably going to be the biggest song of her career. And the money, and she's not even going to put the money in her pocket. She's reaching out to other people in need. So it's really heartwarming. So to Megan Thee Stallion, we give a big
Okay. Speaking of more excellence, you may have heard, I hope, Michelle Obama's documentary is going to be on Netflix. It is called Becoming, and it's going to premiere on May 6th. So this week, almost very soon after this show airs. The documentary is chronicling her book tour for 34 cities between 2018 and 2019. Of course, it wasn't this year. He said the promotional tour was managed by Live Nation. Instead, it had the scale of a rock tour within a string of dates of sold-out areas. She says of it, "I treasure the memories and that sense of connection now more than ever as we struggle together to weather this pandemic, as we care for our loved ones, tend to our communities, and try to keep up with work and school while coping with huge amounts of loss, confusion, and uncertainty." And also wanted to mention that the documentary was directed by Nadia Hallgren, who is a Black woman also. She is also has a background in cinematography, and this is her directorial debut. So congratulations to her on that, because this is actually kind of major. By the way, the book sold more than 11 million copies, and it's been translated to more than 20 languages. I am really trying to have something like that going for me in the near future. So, the movie, like I said, centers on the stories of the people that Michelle Obama met during the book tour of her memoir. So, you know, if you read the book or if you know you didn't and, you know, you want to get a idea of what it's about, you know, you can check it out on Netflix pretty soon. So to Michelle Obama, to Nadia Hallgren, we give a big
Okay, our last story in Squeeworthy News is from Shadow and Act. Paula Patton set to produce and star in Josephine Baker's Last Dance. Patton has optioned the rights for film and television for the novel by Sherry Jones called Josephine Baker's Last Dance. She's working to adapt the novel and right now and is looking for script writers. So maybe some aspiring writer will get a shot. Of course, the last TV movie project about Josephine Baker was HBO's The Josephine Baker Story in 1991, starring Lynn Whitfield. Just classic. And Josephine Baker also has two documentaries about her life. So she's a fascinating subject, and the more, the merrier. If there's more projects about her, you know, the better. Maybe more people will be interested in reading about her story as well. So to Paula Patton and Josephine Baker, we give a big... I know Katrina Jackson must be very happy about this. She is a big fan of Paula Patton and Josephine Baker.
Yeah.
She must be over the moon about this.
Paula Patton is just one of those likable people. Like, whatever she does, like, a lot in her career she deserves better than what she got, but it's like, I'm glad to see that she's producing something or you know, has options, something, is trying to do something that she really wants to do. So, you know, keeping our fingers crossed for her on this.
Yeah, she's doing that. She's kind of following Lupita's lead.
Yeah, yeah.
Lupita kind of said, oh, if I can't get, you know, the roles that I want, I will create them.
Yes.
So, good on Pat. Yeah. Good on Paula.
Yeah. Okay, and also in Squeeworthy News, I hope you have seen this because everybody has freaked the fuck out, including me. HBO dropped a trailer on Friday for the series based on the 2016 novel by Matt Ruff about a man named Atticus Black who goes on a search for his missing father during the 1950s, and this is the series Lovecraft Country. The show stars Jonathan Majors, who, if I'm going to remind you again, if you have not seen The Last Black Man in San Francisco, he got robbed for not getting nominations all over the place for that. And he is the lead in this. Also with Journey Smollett-Bell, Courtney B. Vance, and Wonmi Masaku, who I love and doesn't get as much attention as she should get. And a reminder, Misha Green is the showrunner and one of the executive producers of the show. Man, you put along with some guys you may have heard of before, like Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams. But just have to remind you, Misha Green gave us Underground, y'all.
Justice for Underground.
Yes. Misha Green gave us Underground. And if that speaks to anything about what she's going to do with this series, y'all, we're not going, not only are we going to be not disappointed, it's probably going to be one of our favorite things, well, since Underground and probably since Watchmen also.
Y'all ain't ready. Y'all wasn't ready for Underground.
Nah.
Y'all ain't ready for this.
Yeah. It was like you said, Twitter was giving all the praise to, you know, Jordan Peele. And because like you said, like they did with Candyman, even though Nia DaCosta is the director of that. But at least he, as well as many other people, will remind everybody this is their properties. Like I said, he keeps reminding people that Nia DaCosta directed Candyman, and he's reminding people now to follow Misha Green. Because like I said, she's a genius, and she made Lovecraft Country. So thank you, him, for, you know, for clarifying that, because people seem to forget. I don't know. Right. Why, but yeah.
But yeah. Y'all forgot who the fuck Misha Green was, but she going to come back and remind you.
Yes.
HB fucking O.
Yes. And oh, with her behind
she
it.
She went from WGN.
Yeah.
HBO. Do your thing, Misha.
But I'm like, it's her and it's this cast. I'm like, this can't, there's no way this could go. it can't go wrong. I mean, like,
I'm everything. I'm glad that she brought Journey Paulette Bell back.
Yeah, yeah. She's having a good year.
So, yeah, so just in case you forgot, you know, they also worked on Underground together, and
yes.
Journey was the lead of that show.
Yes.
Damn, that was a good-ass show.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, but so to Misha Green and to Lovecraft Country, we give a big
Underground.
I'm just mad it drops in August. Like, we gotta wait till August for this.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even name. There are so many people in this show. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, the cast is ridiculous.
Yes. So. Yeah.
We ain't ready. We ain't ready. But maybe by August we'll be ready. Go. Anyway, so that's enough of Squeeworthy news. Now it's time to go to Indie's Corner.
All right. So a few things in Indie's Corner today. Lion Babe released a new single called Can't Get Enough. Hadn't caught up with that yet because I've been trying to, I was actually catching up with something else yesterday. But yeah, it's Lion Babe. So I'm never disappointed with them. Oh, actually, is that the single? No. That's somebody else. Oh, I completely forgot something else I got to catch up with, because Aluna Francis released a solo single, and I have to go back and listen to that too. So my couple of my favorite duos, Lion Babe and Aluna George, but looks like Aluna Francis is doing her thing solo for a minute, so we got to see, you know, what that's about. Also, Kira Sheard, she is the daughter of Karen Clark Sheard of the Clark Sisters. May have, you know, heard about a TV movie that gave Lifetime its like highest ratings in a good minute for the film, the biopic about them. She released an album, Kira Sheard. If you are into gospel and like gospel royalty, you can check that out. Also, I haven't finished reading all of this yet, but Longreads has a story, Funk Lessons in Sonic Solitude, and it's about Joy Gilliam. And if you know anything about Joy Gilliam, holy shit, that woman, I love her. She is probably the only person except Michelle and Deggio Cello, who did not predate D'Angelo and Erykah Badu and Neo Soul. So she is kind of the blueprint. And so this article is kind of putting her in line with artists like Prince, Aretha Franklin, Nina Simone, Stevie Wonder, which is actually very, very apt, because we do not talk about Joy Gilliam enough and her impact and her legacy on. I like the label that they gave her, crunk funk, but also she is definitely like, I don't believe neo soul would exist without her. I just don't, because if you go back and
listen, Southern rap would sound different without
her. Yes.
Because all those backgrounds on all those Outkast hits, that was
her. Yeah. Yeah. So,
and Wild Peach.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah. She is so essential to pretty much the Southern music scene from the mid 90s on. She is essential to it. And so I'm really anxious to finish reading this article, because it's given her due. So just had to let y'all know about that. And like I said, if you haven't heard the Pendulum Vibe from 94 to what was the album she did that was
Tennessee Slam.
Yeah, that was 2006. That was 2001. Sir Rebecca Holy Love was 2018, and I'm still listening to that. I also still have her. I just say I've found it, Amoeba Cleansing Syndrome, which I think was after. I think that was before Star Kitty's Revenge, and, you know, but definitely after the Pendulum Vibe. But yeah. Because when I just really got into her, I had to listen to everything she put out. And so I have all her albums. And I frequently feature her on the show now because I just keep going through her discography and like, okay, I have to play this now because a song will just hit me. But okay, I'm going to, let me stop because we'll keep going.
Yeah, but we need to talk offline about helping me find that album too. I got Pendulum Vibe, I've got Star Kitty, I've got Tennessee Slim is the Bomb, I've got so yeah, I need that.
We'll talk. Okay. Okay, so long reads, the article is called Funk Lessons in Sonic Solitude. Go check it out. Also just wanted to briefly say Bandcamp is waiving artist fees for like the first, they did yesterday, which is beginning of May, but they're also doing it, I think, for June and July. And they are waiving the artist fees for all of the music they sell on the first of the month of those months. And that's actually a really, really good way to support some independent artists because if they don't have to give, you know, a cut of their profits from that day. And I know Bandcamp, they did this. I think it was either April or may have been sometime in March. They did it before. And their site pretty much crashed because so many people were trying to buy so much. And like I said, I mean, you can check out some independent artists on the Bandcamp. And one of I keep wanting to, even though she hasn't had anything out new recently, Kimya Dawson, she has a few things, you know, on Bandcamp if you want to go get some stuff from her because she has been having a really, really tough time for about a month or so. She's been having some severe health problems. And I know she was for a while crowdfunding so she could get all of her necessities paid. And she also finally had to go to the emergency room, and I don't know what's up with it exactly right now, but yeah, she's been going through the bad part of our healthcare system because it's not working for her when it needs to. But so yeah, if, like I said, you are into indie music artists, especially some Black women who may not get as much radio play or airplay as others, but you want to support them, Bandcamp is probably one of the best outlets to do that. So I just want to put that out there. And also wanted to bring up another favorite we have here, is Shea Diamond. She released a new track called I Am America. I started out the show last time with that track. It is the theme song to, I think the show is called We're Here. And it is a show that's featuring, I think, some of the like past winners or like some favorites that have been on Drag Race, and they're doing a reality show now. And I think I want to say that show is on something like HBO, but I forget exactly where that show is on. But yeah, but also Shea Diamond, she's also the cover on the cover of Amazon Music for their Proud playlist today. So. Yeah, and she looks great on it. It's the cover image for the single I Am America, if you want to check that out. So, yeah, that's actually, it's a really fun song, too, you know. And plus, Shea Diamond, she can just sing her ass off, so.
Yes, she can. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Just listen to her for that.
Yes. Okay, so, yeah, I think that's all I want to talk about on Anna's Corner today. But yeah, I am still doing the Black Swan Collective. It's Anna's Corner. That's on hiatus.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, we're still doing the Black Swan Collective every other week. That's on Mixcloud. So mixcloud.com/AndaLauren. So if you want to check out try to find some Black women, some Black music, Black female music artists that you would like to support, because artists are having a really hard time right now. I play some on the show. So.
She plays a lot of them.
Yes.
Basically all Black women on the show.
It is.
That's the point.
Yes. So,
that's mixcloud.com/AndaLauren, AndaLauryn.
Yes.
All righty. That was a fun trip to Enda's Corner.
Yeah.
And now we're going to talk about that print.
Yeah.
And come back.
I'm still here.
Tell us about this person you picked for our pantheon of peen.
All right. So, my pick this time around. Thing is, you know his face, you know his voice, because he has a resume a mile long. And I am talking about Larry C. Robinson II, better known as Bumper Robinson. And I mean, like I was saying earlier, this dude, he is definitely Black famous because he came up in all of the Black sitcoms. And I mean, all of them. He came up in all of them. And he's also done like a ton of voice acting, so like I said, that's why you know his voice. But if you were around my age and you used to watch all the shows, then you definitely remember him from shows like Night Court, because I still remember him from that. I used to love him in that. You remember him from Amen. He had a recurring role in Family Matters. Oh, he also played Jackie Jackson in The Jacksons and American Dream. Yes. So I know everybody knows him from that. I think a lot of my generation, especially for teen years, we mostly know him from A Different World and Living Single. A Different World, where he played Dorian, and Living Single, where he played Ivan, the cub reporter.
Okay.
Always hitting on Khadijah, like guest. Thought he was going to marry her or whatever and all that. But yeah, he came up in all of those sitcoms. I mean, he was on stuff like The Parkers. He was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. So like I said, he has resume a mile long, and also he was just recently featured in the podcast series Strong Black Lead. And that's a really good interview there with him, if you want to go listen to that. But like I said, I saw that picture of him that they were using for to promo on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, he aged nicely. He aged very, very nicely. He's 45 now. His birthday is next month, so he'll be 46 soon. But yeah, he done got that, you know, to that thick uncle stage with the graying. And he was kind of all of our crush in whatever phase of career he was in. And you know what? He still is. So yeah, that's Bumper Robinson.
All right. I just can't. Hey, king of getting a check and keeping a check.
Yes,
because you know Because we all those shows Enda just listed, they're all syndicated somewhere. So royalty checks stay coming to Bumper Robinson's house.
Yes.
So Bumper gonna be all right.
Yeah, that in that interview, that must be why he's so unbothered.
Basically.
He's
like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I've been working my ass off, but I'm good now.
He is so
I may not be a household name, but
I mean, he is some us. Like I said, he black famous. Mm-hmm. We know who Bumper Robinson is. Thing is, we probably will still just treat him like the dude that lived down the street. And you just see him every once in a while, you know, whenever.
Oh yeah, that's Bumper. He be on TV all the time, but
yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
good for him. He still look good too.
He does. Right. Oh, he really does. Right.
I need to see him in the TV show. They need to see. Man, that's where we don't see a lot of black sitcoms no more.
Well,
we need a sitcom for him.
Well, the thing is, right now, he's actually on Black as Fuck. But I haven't heard good things about that show. Yeah. So I don't know if it's even worth trying to watch him for it.
Once again,
exactly.
He's still getting them checks, though.
Exactly.
It's still cash.
I am not mad. Get the check, Larry.
Yes. No, he didn't call him Larry.
I'm like, if I had any fear of any that he would hear this, I would have done it, but I don't think
you know.
Because I don't want him to come try to slap me in the face.
Okay. Moving on swiftly, Enda, hit us with this woman's vocab.
Okay. I'm actually just going to go because Wikipedia actually did just give a really nice, concise definition of this word. And I just want to, you know, I'm just going to read this to you because today's woman's vocab word is oppression. Now, this is the definition of oppression or, you know, a really nice, concise you know, way to think about it. Oppression is malicious or unjust treatment or exercise of power, often under the guise of governmental authority or cultural opprobrium. Oppression may be overt or covert, depending how it is practiced. Now, reason I wanted y'all to know what oppression was, because I need y'all to know what oppression isn't. Oppression is not you being unable to force somebody to go to work to give you a haircut and a massage.
Okay, we going there. All right.
Okay. That's not oppression. So I just need y'all to understand that. Because a lot of y'all don't understand this.
Yeah, because a lot of y'all are living with unexamined privilege.
Yes.
So you can't wait to jump out and say that you're oppressed when you're not.
Yeah.
It's just people saying no or people just recommending that you don't do stuff for the health of everybody else,
including you.
It's just people being really ridiculous and selfish and so yeah, so all these people protesting with guns to go back to work, that's a lot. Have you ever seen somebody protest to go back to work? Okay. And they're not even asking, like those people going up to state capitals and stuff with guns, they're not even asking for protective gear, protective equipment to go back to work. They just want to go back to work.
If you can,
whatever.
Look, if you can take your ass up to the state capitol with a fucking automatic weapon and survive. Like, exactly, like, nobody goes upside your head, nobody takes a shot at you. You are not oppressed in the least.
Say it again.
If you can go to a state capitol building with a fucking automatic weapon, nobody goes upside your head or takes a shot at you, then you are not oppressed at all. You just aren't.
So. Oh my God. Okay. See, we didn't even do Catch the Fade, but I feel like we do in Catch the Fade because all these people protesting can catch the fade.
Yes.
It's like they're in such a rush to go die. They're in such a rush to go kill other people.
And it's not even like, it's not even like they want to go back. They want other people to go back to work for them.
Right. Think about it. If people go back to work now, the curve ain't even flat. The curve didn't have a chance to get flat. Name me a place where the curve has been flattened.
In this country, nowhere.
Right. So you're supposed to have at least 2 weeks where the number of cases has gone down every day. And that's just to enter phase one of reopening.
Yes.
Nobody's had that. So everybody wanting to go back now. For what? For maybe 1 or 2 weeks of business and not very much business at that, because a lot of people are going to be afraid to come out.
Yep.
And so 1 or 2 weeks of business before everybody gets sick and or dies. Yep. What is that going to do for the economy?
Y'all don't think. Basically. But yeah, just had to say that.
Yes, thank you very much. Oppression. Look it up before you use it on social media.
Yes.
Because 9 times out of 10, you're probably not oppressed. Anyway. People comparing quarantine to being in prison.
Ugh.
You're not in prison.
No, not even close.
People in prison wish they could just be on quarantine, especially in a big ass millionaire's house. Anyway, we're going to have Catch the Fade and we not even, we supposed to be skipping it. I was trying to.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the show, folks. Before I get on another soapbox. Black Girl Squee is on Twitter, Tumblr, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. You can find all our episodes at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.com. You can find us at In This Corner and me at Dust Daughter. You can find our show tweets at Black Girl Squee, and you can email us at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. Still waiting for some emails about COVID strategies. I checked the inbox and then nothing in there. So if you want to send us some things that you're doing to get you through the quarantine, please hit us up at blackgirlsquee or at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. All right. So until next time. Bye.
Bye.